Greetings, and welcome to the show, A Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White, also known as the Zany Mystic. Today, my guest is Liat Nava Aliyah. Liat is known here at BBS Radio for her channel contributions called The Scroll of Light to the Spiritual Notebook. She is also a planetary grid master living in Cape Town, South Africa. She works closely with one of the cities of light, Andromeda, under the umbrella of the Galactic Federation. As a walk-in, she came here to assist humanity and the Earth in the ascension process. One of her life purposes is to assist others in opening the heart and reconnecting the grids of light to the new Earth with the Federation, which has come forward to help humanity in great joy at this time of new Earth energy. Well, that was a mouthful, wasn't it? So, let's welcome Liat to the show. I'm sure she's going to be more interesting than me. Hi, Liat. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And you know.
There's just a momentary delay between us, so just so that people know that we're not stalling. There is a momentary lag because you do live in South Africa. I stumbled across your messages through another site, but I resonated to your writings and channel material so much that I knew you'd be great to have on the show. And then I discovered you've been posting things all along to our spiritual notebook. I guess we could start a little bit with your background and how you came in as a walk-in. Would you like to talk about that a little bit, or anything that you want to start with to give a preface to what you do?
Well, I came in as a walk-in on the 8th of December 2005, which was actually quite a shock for me, because from an energetic point of view, I really, really felt the density of the Earth energy at the time.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I didn't know I was a walk-in at the time, and it took me about 10 months to figure it all out, and eventually I did.
That's kind of, I've had friends whose husbands were walk-ins, and apparently there's confusion sometimes for the incoming soul. And just so that people understand who are listening, that it's not about taking over or commandeering a soul's life, but it's a mutual choice and agreement that's worked out at the soul level. Is that accurate?
That's 100% accurate. Sometimes with people who are walking, they have accidents and they can't remember. They can't remember their previous life.
Uh-huh.
But with me, I have full access and full memory to this other past life, which is really strange for some people to understand.
Yeah. And it's kind of like the way my friends used to describe it. Their husbands remembered everything that had happened, but they had different preferences. So they might like, hamburgers, where their husband never would touch a hamburger. And there were lots of things where they wouldn't quite remember things in the same way. It's quite a process. But it makes a whole lot of sense in that if you have a specific mission to accomplish here on Earth, it completely cuts out the whole being born under the veil of forgetfulness and being raised and being inundated with beliefs and so on, and then having to, attempt to remember what you came to do. And so since there's mutual choice, it makes a lot of sense that you save, 20 years or so, and you can get right to what you're here to do. Does that make sense?
That's actually what happened to me, because I came in and I started channeling immediately. There was no waiting.
Yeah.
The City of Life Andromeda came to me straight away.
Yeah.
And so this was all very, it wasn't frightening, but it was sort of awakening in one day, and then being clairvoyant, clairsentient, and awake all in one go. It was actually quite, I didn't know what had happened.
Yeah. Now, would you share a little bit about what you're here to do and what you've learned about your mission so far?
I have come to help humanity with the ascension process.
Okay.
And I spent about 9 months channeling information until December last year, I looked at it all and thought, well, I've got to start doing ascension workshops to help people with the emotional issues, and that's an integral part of the awakening process, is that you can't awaken without working through your emotional issues. So I designed some workshops around this, and I have currently 3 workshops now.
Why are the emotional issues so crucial to awakening?
Because the emotional issues, they sit in your energy field, not only like your mental body, your emotional body, your macabre, and your light body. And unless these issues are released and dealt with, there is no way that a person can awaken and open the heart at the same time without dealing with these issues. It becomes extremely painful to do so.
Yeah, yeah.
So spirit is always guiding us to work through our emotions, and I call this onion layers. Just because you've worked with one layer of emotion doesn't mean that another one is going to come up from another past lifetime. This is what we are here on earth to do at present, is to clear all the emotional issues and our past lifetimes. And it doesn't necessarily, you don't necessarily have to know which lifetime it is from.
Uh-huh.
You just have to take the issue and deal with that particular emotional issue.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. Maybe you could talk a little bit too about the ascension process. And I mean, surely there will be people who will not be dealing with their emotions prior to the ascension process. And I mean, what happens to them?
Sorry, Lars. From what I can understand, those people not dealing with their emotional issues right now will be aided at the time of first contact, when first contact happens.
Okay.
And there will be the 144 cities of light are here to aid humanity in this process. And I think one of the last channelings I did was just to remind people to continue working through their emotions and not to leave it and not to ride the wave of ascension, because the more work done now will really aid you greatly. And the work has to be done whether you do it now or whether you do it at the time of first contact or when the Great Awakening occurs.
As far as you know, when is your time sense of first contact? When do you think that will occur?
Well, for me, it's kind of, I'm very agitated because I can feel the energy of this first contact. It's very powerful. But I don't have any linear time sense as to when it's going to happen.
Okay. Now, I did quite a few shows with Liara from Operation Terra. And according to her information and others, the ascension process will occur in waves. That there's something like 3 waves.
Mm.
Can you do?
That's 100% correct.
Okay, and then what are the logistics of those waves? I mean, how it's like there's a first wave and a second wave and a third wave, but what does that mean to us who are, you know, trying to piece all this together?
Lance, from what I can understand, from my communications, would be the first wave of ascension would be at the time of first contact, and those should be most of the light workers. And then
okay.
What's going to happen after that is those that you have ascended will assist those in the second wave.
Okay.
And then together with the city of light and the beings of light, third wave with the masses of humanity. Because we're going to need a lot of help with this, really.
Where does it feel like we're at in the ascension process? Since you came in with a mission, you're working with the planetary grids, is that correct?
That's correct. I'm also working with the planetary grids of light.
Okay.
In other words, I will travel to places to maybe ground some columns of light or just work with the water grids wherever I'm guided.
What are the planetary grids and where are they located and what do they do?
The planetary grids of light connect you to the new higher grids of light, and this is where the cities of light are located, or the fifth dimension. And as you know, that if you enter any city of light anywhere on the planet, you are automatically placed in the fifth dimension. So it's quite a difficult thing to explain. Once you access one, you've actually accessed them all.
Okay.
But the new grids of light, they're kind of like libraries. They contain all the new encodements, all the blueprints for new Earth. That
uh-huh.
is basically the groundwork for new Earth, and that is how we access the higher vibrations is through the cities of light, which have access points on the grids of light around the planet.
Huh. Now, supposedly at some point, there will be a shift into these higher dimensions, and what happens to the 3D Earth that we see in front of us now? Is that transformed, or does it just sit here and rejuvenate?
I had a vision of the Earth going into the new Earth of light, and all I could really see was an explosion of light.
Uh-huh.
And I did a channeling from Metatron that explained the parallel Earth energies.
Okay.
In other words, at the moment, they're existing energies of lower vibration and higher vibration existing side by side on the Earth at the moment.
Okay.
And this is what is causing a lot of the chaos at the moment. And those who are vibrating at quite a high rate will feel this. And especially for me, I often get lost in the higher dimensions, if you want to put it that way.
Uh-huh. Now, Metatron is one of the beings, or one of the groups that you are connected to. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of these off-world groups, like Metatron and the Federation and so on?
There are many beings of light that are situated around planet Earth at the moment. Metatron is just one of the great angels, but the many other beings of light that are in our skies and in the ships above the planet would be, some of them that I work with is Andromeda, but I think if you have a look at any of the other channelings, I think Mike Quincy channels from Sirius and Sheldon Middle from one of the others, I can't remember who, but there are many, 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 many beings of light in our system here.
One of the things that I think that's frustrating for many light workers is that we can't see them. But I guess, you know, that's why it's nice to have people like you on the show, because, you know, if you're in communication with them and you can, then that's, you know, we kind of have to listen to you, and you've got to kind of lead the way a little bit.
You know what, it's an old 3D Earth paradigm is not to believe in something you can't see. And so when I walked in and I had to release a lot of belief systems along the way, that was one of them.
Uh-huh.
Is because the beings of light that I was working with were extremely persistent and I could see them. So just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. They really, really are there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think as people raise their vibrations and clear their emotional issues, they will be able to see their guides and these beings of light. It's possible. For everybody, it's very attainable.
It does seem like the energies are shifting pretty rapidly now in 2007, and then supposedly there's another portal that's opening up in July, and I know what's your information on that one?
I knew you were going to ask me this. It's the energy portal of the 777.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know too much about it, except I have a beautiful vision of seven urns of light for this particular portal of light. So I know it's very powerful energy that is coming through. And I don't normally channel information on these energies that come through, but I just thought I would share that particular vision that I had on the 777 that I did see.
I know that there's a person who does the, Fire the Grid, Shelley Yates does Fire the Grid, and she's working with the 77 energies, and I'm sure all of us are working with it, whether we're aware of it or not. Does it seem to you that what's your sense of the darkness that seems to prevail here?
I really felt it when I first walked in, and I took one look at this planet and I thought, what's going on here? This isn't really nice. And then I had some information coming through about the dark energies, in particular the Illuminati.
Ah, tell us about that.
My favorite subject.
Yeah, me too. I love it.
before I walked in, I really didn't know anything about this. But I think with all the work that the light workers are doing around the planet is helping tremendously with exposing them. And I don't think they have a chance. Their time is up, and they're just trying to hang on to the last little bits of straws, and they're creating quite a lot of chaos around the planet at the moment.
Uh-huh.
So it's very important for people to align to higher energy and maybe to stop reading the newspapers and watching television news, you know, so that they aren't connected to the fear, because this is what they feed on. They feed on the fear.
Some people seem to think that the Illuminati is controlled by off-world forces like reptilians and so forth. I guess it doesn't really matter who's pulling the strings. We know somebody is.
No.
The dark can't win, can they?
Absolutely not. There's no way. There's absolutely not.
Okay.
Not in this time.
I think that's the bottom line that I like to find out about, because it just seems like, you know, it's so prevalent, and that they have so much power and so much resources, and there's so much lying and deception going on, but that just can't go on. it's impossible with the energy shifting ever higher.
I know. I really feel the same. And when you look around you,
yeah,
and you look at the third dimensional reality, it doesn't seem like anything is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this is where a lot of people are getting really disheartened.
Yeah.
But they must know that the Earth has a very, very positive outcome.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was talking to Don earlier about photon power, and, you know, the photons are like light packets. And apparently, the density of Earth is increasing in light. Does that resonate too with your information from from your sources?
No, absolutely. The amount of light coming into the planet is phenomenal at present.
Uh-huh.
And this is why, I don't know if you can see the same thing where you are in the States, but there are so many people struggling with their emotional issues and with pain and with anger.
Oh yeah.
And it's because of the light. It's because of the light coming into the planet that is bringing all this up. So the dark forces don't stand a chance. Everything's going to come to light.
Yeah, yeah. Is it your sense that everyone here on the planet has come to experience this shift in consciousness or awareness?
Absolutely. Everybody who's on the planet at present made that choice before they came.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really up to them how they want to play it out and what they want to do with their lives and how is it going to go. It's about free will and choice.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. And it seems like some people will choose to pretend like they don't know that they're here for that, but on a soul level, we know, right?
That's 100% correct.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems, too, that we choose. I've had a couple of guests who have indicated that that we choose our soul contracts. In other words, it might be something that we choose to have a car accident or cancer, or for somebody who, you know, just unusual things happen to us, and that all these things are chosen at the soul level before we come here. Is that your sense of it too?
That is correct. That is called your blueprint. But now there's a new thing happening with the new Earth, is that you have a choice now
uh-huh.
on how you want to manifest your life. You know, there's a lot of people still stuck in victimhood on the planet.
Uh-huh.
And this is not necessary. Your life now is how you choose to live it. And this is why, if you have a look at my website, one of the little boxes that come up is your passion. It's very important to connect with your passion in life, because your passion is very closely connected to your soul mission.
Uh-huh.
And there's no reason for disease and for misfortune in your life now. It's
okay.
What you actually want to manifest in your life.
So in a sense, we're moving out of an old paradigm and from karmic issues and repetitive
yes.
Recurrence, and we're moving into the new, which is the ability to override whatever old soul contracts we had, and we can create new realities based on our passions and our loves.
That's correct, and that is happening now.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. that's what I thought. And, you know, I know for myself, sometimes I get caught up in the old energies, and it's shifting. The shifting back and forth can be confusing at times.
It's very confusing because I still have to earn money, and I still have to work in a 3D reality. It's very difficult for me to know what I know and to teach what I teach and try and empower others to heal themselves, and then still go to work the next day and work.
Yeah.
It's not
absolutely
easy.
Absolutely. I know that I couldn't be here now and hold down a full-time job. I couldn't, you know, and deal with normal, quote-unquote, realities that people are generally concerned about and rushing around with their cell phones glued to their heads. It just, you know, that sometimes this planet seems so dense and dull and stupid. And I say that in
that's
the nicest...
What I thought was-
I say that in the nicest of ways. let's see. One of the things that I know a friend of mine is concerned about is being left behind, but there's no such thing as being left behind.
Oh, no, Lance. It's all about your intent. If you want to go, you're going to go.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
That's all
I love
it is,
that.
Your intent. One of the things my guides are constantly reminding me about is watching your thoughts and how they create.
Yes.
And your intent is extremely powerful. And again, just because it's not seen, it doesn't mean that it's not going to work. It does.
That's. I would say that in addition to working on the emotions, that we also are learning how to work on our thoughts because they manifest as reality faster and faster.
Mhm.
What is the significance of 2012 for you?
Is there a
galactic alignment or something? One of those 100 billion year galactic alignment things coming around again?
The end of the Mayan. That's the end of the Mayan calendar, and that is the linear time span for the ascension.
Yeah.
For the ascension process, Earth ascension.
And some people too seem to think that first contact will happen somewhere around that time. Some say before, some say afterwards. So I'm taking it that's kind of a window.
That's kind of a window, yes. But from what I'm feeling, first contact is actually going to happen quite soon.
Oh, good. Thank God.
I wish it was hoping today.
Of course,
I would hope for tomorrow, but. From that time span, I would hope for 2008, but I really don't know.
Yeah.
They don't give that time span to me.
That's my sense of it, too. And, you know, it's funny because when I'm reading your channeled material and the stuff that you've written, it's almost as if I've written it myself. So it seems as if that's the information that we're picking up now. We're all aligning towards, I'm aligning with your information, let's say, and I don't know what everybody's doing, but it does seem that in general, the information that you're getting and posting and channeling is the same information that, you know, that resonates with me, so it must be right.
Well, I call it universal knowledge, and the higher you vibrate, everybody has access to the same wisdom and the same bits of light and the same information.
Yeah.
That is my view of it.
Yeah. Now, you've had contact with the Great White Brotherhood. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Can you tell us what the Great White Brotherhood is? I mean, some people seem to think that it's a negative polarity entity, or is there are they working towards our good?
Absolutely. From what I can gather from my meditations, these are my visual meditations, but I often go to this place where I meet, say, Sananda, and he is part of the Great White Brotherhood.
Okay.
And it was just during one of the meditations that I received my other two names. My name is Liat, but I had to have two other names for my life here on Earth.
Uh-huh.
So it was during that time in that particular meditation with the Great White Brotherhood that I received those two names for my life.
Huh. is there also a great black brotherhood or dark brotherhood?
I'm sure there is.
I guess we don't want to worry about them too much. We don't want to rile them up.
No. Not at all.
Yeah, exactly. So and one of the things that I know a lot of people are also concerned about is that as we make the shift into higher densities, the lower densities kind of are slough off or they fall away, that it's not possible for a lower density to rise up into a higher density. Does that make sense?
Well, they can if they work on themselves and bring in the light. It's entirely possible. But you'll find that the higher you vibrate, the less these densities even affect you.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of separate.
Well, that sounds like a good thing to me.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Now, I've also had some guests on who have been abductees by various off-world groups for many years, and one person was experienced his abductions for decades and was able to recount what happened and so on and so forth, and it seemed that they were concerned about the Earth, becoming so damaged that we're literally killing it. Are you aware of some of these occurrences like ET Earth hybrids and so on?
I'm not sure about the ET hybrids, but you are correct about the Earth at present. It's one of my stresses at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Is the abuse of the planet Earth by humanity because of lower conscious awareness,
uh-huh.
and because of the governments around the planet not caring, and because they're part of the dark structure. But now I want to get back to something you said about the ETs. All extraterrestrials in our Earth skies now are of the light. There aren't any operating what I call the dark, and those are called the greys.
Okay.
Now, many of us were abducted. I was one of them from the age of 3. But those particular, I'll call them hybrids of beings, are not allowed to operate in our skies anymore. They have left.
Ah, well, that's a good thing, too, then.
That's absolutely a good thing. So the only beings that are in our skies at the moment on the ships above planet Earth, they are of the light, and there's nothing to fear.
So there's actually less of the darkness. It seems as if that's accurate, too, that I have a sense that they're just not around.
That's correct. They're not around.
Yeah, yeah. I know Whitley Strieber does a lot of work with, he's been an abductee and he speaks about the greys and so on. But my sense of it is that the greys aren't even around that's no longer even an issue.
No, not as present on Earth at the moment, no. There's too much light.
So at this point, it's about releasing the emotions that surround those events that have occurred in the past, and the past doesn't have to affect our present any longer.
That's correct. But there's a few other things that go with that as well. One of them is karma.
Uh-huh.
The other one is what you create in your reality and your life at the present time.
And what we create does follow us into what we perceive as our future, doesn't it?
It does follow you, yes, because that's obviously what you are creating. So you're going to manifest that reality at some point in your future life.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Oh, what can? Now it's you're kind of a special person because you're a walk-in, and I wanted to kind of touch on this a little bit because I know some people out there in the audience that are listening today or listening in the future will have confusion about walk-ins. They might have husbands who are walk-ins. They might be walk-ins themselves.
Mm.
How can people who have come here as a walk-in, resolve this confusion? How can they figure that part of them out? Who can they turn to? Are there groups, or do they meditate, or how can they figure that part out?
Well, the very first thing was I wanted to change my name.
Uh-huh.
That's number one.
Okay.
I wanted to change my name, Number two, I was very depressed. Number three, I wanted to leave the planet. those two things are really pointers, because one of the first people that I ever did a session with here in South Africa was a walk-in.
Uh-huh.
And she suffered the same thing, change of name and depression. So those two things are really pointers. The other thing that I did was I saw quite a lot of people for help or for readings until I connected with one that I resonated with, and that was my friend Zakaran in Australia. And he really helped me, you know, with the final bit that I was a walk-in. And then I kind of settled down and got really on with my mission.
Huh.
So I would say just be guided by your heart and try and listen to your guides who are trying to point you in the right direction. It's very important.
And you mentioned working with your guides. Is there like angelic assistance too? Would you call them angels or beings of light? What some people call them angels and guides. What's your experience with being guided from the other side?
Oh, I love them. I spend all my time in the fifth dimension.
Uh-huh.
I'm there and here at the same time. I'm never without contact with any one of my guides or some of them. I absolutely love them. And I love having contact with them.
Uh-huh.
So you can call them. It doesn't really matter what you call them, as long as your intent is there to connect with them.
Yeah.
That is the most important thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, for me, it's not quite so, you know, I don't have names and actual visions of them, but I do know that they're there.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Lance, what I do is, if I'm worried about something or if I'm not sure I'm on the right track, I always ask them to give me feathers.
Uh-huh.
And so they place physical feathers in my pathway,
uh-huh.
You know, to give me a sign that I'm on the right track. So people out there can do the same. It's actually quite a nice thing to do.
Do you find that synchronicity is a way that you are validated that you're on the right path, or you just know intuitively that you always are on the right path?
Synchronicity is a very important pointer. Like you, I don't wear a watch. So I find linear time quite stressful, so I don't really want to be part of it, but I kind of always find that I'm in the right place at the right time, and I make connections with the right people.
Uh-huh.
So that's synchronicity. So that is one of the pointers that you're on the right track as well.
Now, there's also, you know, people are awakening to what's going around about birth. You mentioned in the illusional setup on planet Earth for the third dimension that everything is an illusion, from family setups, relationship, finance, education, law, and that the entire Earth was set up for learning the game of separation, fear, anger, pain, depression, disconnection, control, lack, poverty, consciousness, negativity, duality, and darkness. It seems
that's quite a mouthful.
Yeah, and it seems that game is just going on and on and on. But people are awakening to these various things that we set up for ourselves. That we did this, you know, we set it up to experience these things. And is it your sense too that these things are coming to an end? That these illusions are going to depart as we raise our vibration?
Absolutely. All the systems that you mentioned, they are actually crumbling.
Uh-huh.
They are not able to sustain the high vibration of energy that are coming into the planet at the moment. So people are really waking up and seeing what's wrong with them.
Uh-huh.
And so eventually we'll move to what I call systems of light. But this is where the cities of light come in. They're going to come in and they're going to help us rebuild this earth. And that's where the 144 cities of light are going to come in.
Huh.
They're going to aid us with all, you know, with everything that we need to set up new Earth with and for.
Does it seem that this is going to be a transition that everyone will be aware of at the same time with first contact?
I think they will. They won't be aware of it initially, but I think as the beings of light from first contact work with everybody, I think that knowledge will be you know, will be well known, become quite well known quite quickly.
Now, what will happen to the Illuminati and those who have been, who have access to advanced technology? And I've heard that there are moon bases and a base on Mars, and that all of this has kind of gone on under the wire with underground bases all over the Earth. In fact, there's supposed to be one located somewhere near you in South Africa. What's your sense of that part of the game?
Well, that's interesting. That's the first time I've really heard of that. I can't really comment on that because
okay.
I don't really know.
Okay. But as far as the Illuminati is concerned, that is a very real element that is working to create chaos in the world. Is that not accurate?
Oh, that's so correct. They have hidden so much information from humanity, and specifically I'm going to speak of extraterrestrial contact.
Uh-huh.
Another part of that is the free technology that they have shelved, they have destroyed,
yeah.
And they have made sure that humanity has not been able to advance themselves with the free technology that's going to come very soon.
Yes, thank God. You know, the suppression of free energy is one of the things I would think that humanity will be up in arms when they discover that the technology has existed since maybe the 1940s or 50s, you know, for free energy. At least that's what I've discovered.
That's 100% correct. From what I channeled, they said that this free energy technology was available more than 50 to 60 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. And what's even more disturbing is that they're trying now to... That the Congress and the Senate are trying to pass bills that coal is going to become the new thing. I mean, it just seems to go from bad to worse. You know, this gridlock on oil energy and on electricity, and now they're trying to shove coal down our throats as if coal mining is going to save us. I mean, that's just despicable.
It's absolutely despicable, but luckily there are enough people awake around the planet who can, you know, who see this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They say, no, this is not what we want, and they shine more light on it. So it's really a good thing. They're just clutching at straws.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, all this business about converting to, biofuels of corn fuels. I mean, it's pathetic. It's just pathetic. You know, it's just next they'll be saying something like, you know, well, we have to convert human beings into energy. So we need to grind you up in a meat grinder, and that's our next plan, you know.
They had a plan for mass elimination of a human being on the planet anyway, and I'm talking about the dark, the Illuminati.
Yeah.
That's absolutely despicable, but
yes.
I think with first contact we'll get all the free technology and the aid that we need, and also to clean up the planet at the same time,
and see
everybody from the control systems.
Are you familiar with the chemtrails that are being sprayed all over the globe right now?
I'm familiar with the term, and I'm also very familiar that they are trying to do it.
Yeah. It seems
that they're not being allowed.
It seems that that must be part of an Illuminati control plan as well, because you know, they've been spraying these chemicals in the air, and they've discovered that some people have analyzed them and found that there's bacteria, there's dead blood, there's all kinds of stuff in there that just has nothing to do with creating a shield or ozone layer. There's a lot of horrible stuff in there. And that this has to do with the part of the plan to control and eliminate, you know, great sections of the population. I just don't think that that's going to be allowed to happen.
No, it actually isn't. I believe that the Galactic Federation pick up these chemtrails as soon as they are released. That's what I believe. I don't believe that they're allowed to release these horrible things onto humanity.
Uh-huh.
Not now.
And of course, you know, there's genetically modified food that seems to be cropping up now in things. And you know, one of the things I noticed that you had, you were able to swim with the dolphins. You wrote a piece on that. Can you talk about what that's like and what the dolphins feel like to you? From you know, are they in truth a higher level of being than what we're accustomed to? I mean, are they here to help us?
Oh yes, if you connect with a dolphin, it's like I felt I was home. I went to Mozambique in September last year with my daughter to specifically go and swim with the dolphins. And I had the most amazing experiences with them. And it's very difficult to describe other than it's just an overwhelming sense of light and vibration and sacred geometry and connection. They kind of help you remember home.
And the whales are kind of interconnected with the dolphins, are they not?
Absolutely, they are. They're part of the same. They're part of the same system. I can't.
It seems really sad to when I hear about the Japanese, you know, going out and doing whale, you know, hunting for whales. You know that they sell whale meat. And it just seems like such a travesty that the whales, which are, you know, sentient beings, are, you know, being trapped and killed for food, you know, and the dolphins get caught in the nets too, I think, don't they?
They do. It's absolutely despicable. But the good thing is that the more that you raise your vibrations, the less meat you're going to eat.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. What is happening with linear time? Can you talk a little bit about the idea that time is changing as we get closer to 2012?
Absolutely. I don't know if you've been feeling a rapid increase in the speed up of time over the last few years.
Uh-huh.
In that everything feels like it's really moving really, really fast.
Yeah. It does
because
mean...
now we're coming...
Yeah.
We're coming to the point of no time where there isn't going to be any time.
That's really funny because I had Celia Fenn on last week, and she's also in South Africa. This seems to be the South Africa show now. And she mentioned the same thing, that, you know, we're moving into no time. And, you know, some people consider that like a physical death, but it's actually that... You know, it's an improvement. You know that this linear time, where one thing happens and we're stuck in this sequential repetition of events, is going to change, and we will have access to all time, or
that's,
now time.
That's 100% correct.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I channel three different types of healing chambers, and I always tell people is that when you go to the City of Light, Andromeda, is that you request to go to all three at the same time. And they often sit there and look at me. And I'm trying to explain that it's fifth dimension, you are able to do that. All three, all at the same time. It's very possible.
Do you ever connect to the Pleiadian energies as well?
I actually haven't, only dolphins.
Okay. What is life in South Africa like? I didn't get a chance to talk to Celia too much about that, but is South Africa like living in any other city, or do you get to travel outside of your area, and what is the general feeling there?
I've actually just come back from Australia.
Oh, okay.
I traveled to Australia... 2 weeks ago. I went via Dubai because I went to go grant some light there. And Australia has a wonderful soft and gentle energy.
Yeah.
And it was quite a shock. It was quite a shock for me to come back to South Africa, because South Africa does have quite a harsh energy. It's quite a... I live in a big city, Cape Town, which is to me like any other city in the world. It's just a big city.
Uh-huh.
So if you're living in South Africa, we have all the high-tech stuff. We have all the infrastructure. You know, we have a lot of stuff, but we also have a very large percentage of the population who are underprivileged, which is very sad. And our government has access to an enormous amount of money. They're extremely wealthy,
yeah.
But they don't aid the people that really, really need to be aided, and that's our underprivileged population. They're just completely sidelined. So that is the truth.
Do you feel that there's that as the planet raises in vibration and as we channel light more through ourselves, that this disparity between the people who have great, vast wealth and those who are starving will be bridged?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure how this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But my feeling is that it's going to happen with the changes, the great shift, the great awakening, first contact, and that it all seems to be happening at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we certainly, you know, we certainly are due for some major changes. I mean, things can't go on like they're going on. And do you have you been following the war in Iraq, or is that just kind of a lower vibration that we should kind of not pay much attention to, or what's your feeling about that?
No, it's very much on my mind, in particular the reason why the war is taking place, and that is just to create a lot of chaos and instability and fear and control amongst the planet. It has nothing to do with terrorism.
Yeah.
And it has everything to do with money and oil and greed and power. And it's all being done for the wrong reason. And the people, I feel on an energetic level, everybody wants peace.
Yes. Yes.
They really do.
Yes.
So I'm very interested in what's happening in the Middle East.
Yes.
Which
yeah.
is one of the reasons why I actually flew to Australia via Dubai, which took me an extra 12 hours, but I went to Dubai to go and ground columns of light there that they needed for that specific area. And then, funnily enough, my flight was diverted and I had to fly over southern Iran, Afghanistan, India, and to Bangkok. So as I flew over those areas, I grounded more light as I went. So I think everything's going to come to light here for those particular areas.
You mentioned some in one of your pieces about the kids, the new kids that are, you didn't mention the word indigo, I don't think, or crystal, but it was kind of implied. Are all the kids being born connected to a higher dimensional frequency now, or are they, it seems like they have a greater access to those energies. Is that your sense of things too?
Oh, well, Lance, I have an indigo child. She's 9.
Oh, good.
They are really, really awake.
Yeah.
And in tune with the higher dimensions. They will speak of things, and they will impart great wisdom to adults who have closed ears. But with the crystal children, they are born already awake, so they don't have to go through this awakening process.
Ah.
That we have to go through, which is quite painful. They are already wide awake.
So what might have taken some of us, a lifetime to, quote, achieve, unquote, as adult indigos, happens for them. They're coming in already with that awareness and that knowledge, and so they can just hit the ground running, so to speak.
Yes, that's 100% correct.
Okay.
And they also ground a lot of light for the planet.
Wow. Well, you know, it took me quite a long time and, I would say many years of alcoholism and drug abuse and, you know, so on and so forth to transform and, finally realize, that there were other possibilities that had to do with light and, awakening. So, but I'm having a little bit of fun with it now. It's getting to be more interesting. But it seems like it would have been a lot easier if I could have just hit the ground running like the kids are today.
yes.
Exactly. But I can hardly imagine what it's like for somebody to walk into this mess and just feel the density and the darkness and all the... It must have been horrific for you.
It was very difficult.
Yeah.
It was really difficult. But I think, from what I can see... I'm in a place now that I'm very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The more light that comes into the planet, I'm really more comfortable with it.
Uh-huh.
And because I have already been through the awakening process and because I've already integrated,
yeah.
I can really relate to people who come to me for workshops you know, who needs the aid.
Yeah.
I can understand their process because I've already been there and done
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really important for people to realize that there is such a thing as a soul that walks in, and it's becoming more accessible. This information about walk-ins and people who have come here to help, which is a great service to humanity, really, is becoming more accepted. And, you know, there might have been a time 5 or 6 years ago when people wouldn't even consider these possibilities, but I think it's really important, you know, as you are showing and demonstrating, that there are other ways of being and that you're actually here to help the planet to ascend. So it's like, you know, this is, it's happening, it is happening, it's a very real thing that's going on, and ascension is a process that we are all involved in, you know, whether we want to be or not. What would you advise for people to do who are just awakening today? How would you suggest that they begin, you know, working with these energies?
Oh, wow. I've actually written 10 things down. So I'll start with the most important things, and that is, number one, to align yourself to the higher goods of light and higher vibrations at all times.
Uh-huh.
Number two, work through your emotional issues and the onion layers that come up. Number three, listen to your inner guidance. It's very important. And that will be from what your heart is telling you. Number four, connect with your guide team. Number five, work at your guided pace. Number six, embrace the changes that come. Number seven, watch your thought process. Number eight, release yourself from karma. Number nine, walk away from drama and create harmony in your life. Number 10, request chambers of healing every night.
Well, that sounds good to me. Now, you do some workshops and things, don't you? You offer workshops, or you work with people individually. Is that, which one is that? Is that accurate?
That's accurate. I actually do both. I do workshops individually, and I also do the larger groups of people as well, depending on how many want to come. I did some very nice ones in Australia while I was there, and continue doing those here in Cape Town while I'm here as well, and wherever else. If anybody wants me to fly over, I will do a workshop in a different country. I'm not limited to country.
Would you make sure that people know how they can reach your website and how they can get a hold of you, too, so that, you know, they can find out more? What's your website address?
My website address is www.aboutheheart.org.za.
Okay. And also, I put up your biography in the... I'm starting to have a little bit of a moment here. I put up your bio at the BBS, that's it, BBS Radio website. I knew that there was something there I was supposed to say. And they can check out, they can find you by clicking on a fireside chat. And you've written some wonderful pieces. In fact, I have several groups that I moderate in one of my own group. And I have copied and pasted some of your writings to send to my own group because I thought they were so excellent. And, of course, they can access some of your writings on our spiritual notebook here at BBS Radio as well. Is there anything that you'd like to share with the audience before we have to sign off?
Yes, there actually is. I would highly recommend. There is one activation on my website that is really, really relevant for now. And that is the one on connecting to the higher grids of light, just connecting from the third and fourth dimensional lower vibrational matrices and connecting yourself to the higher grids of light. It's a really wonderful, wonderful thing to do at this time because you don't want to be connected to the lower dimensional frequencies at the moment. You know, they call everybody in. So I would highly recommend that.
And can you repeat the name of that activation that's on your site?
It's called disconnecting from the third and fourth dimensional matrices.
Okay.
And connecting to the higher grids of life.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And just so that everybody knows where your website is again, it's www.aboutheheart.org/ZA.
That's correct.
Wonderful. Well, Liat, it's been wonderful talking to you, and I really appreciate you sharing your life and opening up with us and helping us in this ascension process. And I urge everybody to go check out your website, aboutheheart.org/ZA. And I thank you so much for being with us today at BBS Radio.
Lance, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, BBS Radio. I was very delighted to receive your email. I'll let you know.
Wonderful. Well, I wish you all the best, and thank you again for being with us, and many blessings.
Thank you so much, and to you, Baruch Hashem.
Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.